Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Yesterday's message comes from the gospel readings, as you heard a few moments ago. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, washing feet and feeding the washed. That is how Maundy Thursday is described. And those are the two main events that we think about when we think of Jesus spending time with his disciples on the same night that he is betrayed. Of course, after these things take place, Jesus is going to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane that the cup of God's wrath, which is the full punishment of the sins of the entire world, he's going to pray that that cup would be removed from him, that he would not have to drink it. But before we get there, there is other drinking to be done. And before the drinking and eating, there is some washing that needs to happen. And what's interesting to note is how John begins this. He says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." It's that last part. He loved them to the end. To the end of what? To the end of their life? To the end of his earthly life? To the end of this scene? I mean, we can probably guess what it doesn't mean, but I think we just leave it as to the end. And if there is any takeaway for you today, and which you will see tomorrow, this is it. He loved them to the end. His disciples, even the one who would betray him, even the one who would deny him, even the ones who would flee as he is arrested, which is all of them, except for the one who betrayed him. He loved them to the end. And this is the takeaway for you. Don't leave here thinking that Jesus doesn't love you. Don't come back tomorrow thinking that Jesus doesn't love you, because it's not true. Jesus loves you to the end. And amidst his love for his disciples, he continues to do what he has been doing all along, serving them. That's because the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom. Jesus washes all of his disciples' feet. He washes Judas's feet, the one who would betray him. Peter is hesitant, not fully understanding what's happening. Or maybe his feet are just that gross and smelly. He doesn't want Jesus touching them. And then Jesus lays it out. "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me. You want to be a part of me? You want to be a part of my kingdom? Then you need to be cleansed." And then, of course, Peter basically says, "Well, then wash me from my head to my toes." Jesus then responds with, "The one who is bathed does not need to wash, except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." And you can imagine in this moment, as Jesus is saying this, he is staring at Judas. And we don't know whether or not Judas has been washed yet, but he's not looking at him with hatred, with anger, with sadness. He's looking at him with love, because he loved him to the end. And the same for you too. Put yourself in the place of the disciples. Are you Peter? Hesitant to have Jesus touch your feet? And then once you realize what you need, you want even more from Jesus? Are you one of the other disciples waiting your turn? And then you take it because you know that you need it. Maybe you know that you need Jesus to serve you. And you need to hear that he wants you to go and serve like him. Are you Judas? That is, you're going to get your feet washed, even though you're not really going to come out clean? Are you holding on to something? Is there sin that you can't let go of? Or maybe you don't want to let go of? Are you clinging to sin that you know you are going to do, you just haven't done it yet? Or maybe you're more like the Pharisees. I know they're not in this scene, but just picture it. You can imagine that, you know, if they see Jesus washing the disciples' feet, they might think, does he even know whose feet he's washing? Does he even know that washing their feet makes him unclean? Do you know what Jesus does? He loves you to the end. Or sometimes we may have this attitude with those around us that they don't deserve to have Jesus wash their feet. I mean, think about all of the different kinds of people that are out there in the world. Sometimes we think that people shouldn't be cleansed of their sin, because it's not worthy of Christ's forgiveness, because it is so great, so outrageous. Then sometimes we think that we're better than others, that we are more clean than others, and that we should then decide who is to be cleansed and who isn't. Do you know what Jesus does? He loves them to the end. He loves you to the end. He loves all people. Every sin needs Christ's forgiveness. We had two times of confession and absolution today. And that's because just like the disciples, we mess up. Even between the good things that happen to us. Even between the times where we are told that our sins are forgiven, we sin again. In a matter of minutes, we stumble and fall. The disciples have their feet washed. Jesus cleanses the dirtiest part of their body. Yet even in the midst of that, Judas was not clean. And then Peter is told that he's going to deny Christ. Remember, Satan is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour, to drag down to hell with him. He wants to lead you astray, even in this place. He wants you to turn off your ears to the word, to the preaching. He wants you to believe that Jesus' body and blood is not present in the Lord's Supper. He wants you to eat and drink to your judgment, to your condemnation, which is what Paul warns about. Jesus wants you to eat and drink in faith to your salvation, for your forgiveness. And so after the foot washing, after the cleansing, Jesus is going to share the Passover meal with the disciples. But he's going to do more than that. He's going to give them a new meal with which to share. The meal that is his true body and blood with the bread and the wine for the forgiveness of their sins. And so as we prepare to receive that same supper this day with Jesus' true body and blood, it's okay for us to have multiple times of confession and absolution, to be forgiven, to be cleansed. Especially if the first one didn't take, or you weren't quite ready for it, or you didn't feel like you were fully clean the first time, or that after the first time you already sinned again. And Jesus is going to share this new meal with his disciples. And through the centuries, there's some debate as to who ate. And you may have even seen something about how Judas ate too. Now, I've been doing some reading as to whether or not Judas was present at the Last Supper. Well, I mean, we know that he was present at the Last Supper when the picture was taken, when it was live painted. What I mean to say is that the gospel writers, they include him being present in the room where this Passover meal takes place. But we are not given a minute-by-minute, play-by-play of who is present when. When Judas actually leaves the room to seal the deal of betrayal, if it's before or after Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, we're left with not knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt whether or not Judas ate. The best commentator on the Judas scene is actually John. He has Jesus saying that his betrayer will be the one who is going to take his bread. And this is a prophecy of Psalm 41 fulfilled as Judas takes the bread from Jesus. And then John tells us that at that moment that Judas takes the bread, Satan enters into him. Now, the only problem with us getting John's play-by-play is that he, of all the gospel writers, doesn't include the Lord's Supper. So according to John, we have no idea when it happens. Did it happen before Judas leaves or after Judas leaves? Now, from a purely emotional, God loves everyone and Jesus did everything in his power to love Judas. He loved him to the end. He washed his feet. He gave him his supper. I mean, I could see the crowd that's like, yeah, Judas ate too. And because I betrayed Jesus with my sins, I get to eat too. What a feeling. And while that is all fine and dandy, do you want to associate yourself with Judas? I mean, I can associate myself with Judas. I can associate you with Judas. But would Judas be the one that you want to associate yourself with? I mean, he's going to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus says it would have been better had he not been born. He's going to betray Jesus with a kiss. Then he is going to take his own life. Is that who you want to be compared to? There is no redemption story. There is no repentance for his betrayal. There is no forgiveness given after confession. So, probably not. Some actually believe that the moment Satan enters Judas, it happens because Judas had taken the morsel from Jesus. And if in fact this was the Lord's Supper, Satan wanted to prevent Judas from receiving those blessings that Jesus wanted to give him. And in fact, it doesn't actually say that Judas took it and ate it. Just that he took it. The problem I have with that is that this morsel of bread that Judas takes, Jesus dipped it. So I'm not convinced that this is the Lord's Supper moment, because Jesus said, take and eat, take and drink, not take and dip. Now in the end, it doesn't matter whether or not Judas ate. If we want to connect ourselves to someone in this story, it's probably Peter. We do know that Peter ate. No other disciples leave besides Judas. Peter had his feet washed, and he misunderstood Jesus' point. Do you ever misunderstand Jesus' points? Do you ever read God's word and not fully get it? Do you ever read God's word and think you know what it means, only to have your eyes open to some completely different meaning? Do you ever read God's word, think you know what to do with it, and end up using it in the wrong way? Do you ever think you're following God's will, living your life for him, only to discover that One day you've been lying to yourself. You have not been living your life for God. You've just, in fact, been living your life for yourself. Do you feel like nothing can stop you? And the work that you're doing for God and His kingdom, only to realize then that you get in Christ's way and you have Him call you Satan? Do you feel like nothing can stop you in the work that you're doing for God's kingdom, only to then betray Christ? One, two, three times? If Peter's relatable to anybody, it's us. And Peter is a better connection than Judas because Peter has a redemption story. Peter has repentance for his denial. Peter receives forgiveness of his sins. Yes, Peter messed up. Yes, Peter sinned. And Christ forgave him. Because he loved Peter to the end. That forgiveness was waiting for Judas too. But we are not confident that he received it. Jesus still loved Judas to the end, whether he ate or not. What matters more is that you come and eat and drink in faith. That you come in a worthy manner, having confessed your sins, repented of your sins, wanting to change your sinful ways, believing that Jesus' body and blood is truly present in the bread and the wine, and believing in Jesus' words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. That is what matters. And you're able to eat today because Christ walked that road that led to the garden, where he wrestled with drinking the cup of God's wrath, knowing that it would ultimately mean his death. The death that only he could bear. But he drank it willingly, because it's in his death that we receive life. His body that was nailed to the cross, his blood that was poured out for our forgiveness, to rescue us from sin, death, hell, the devil, and to give us eternal life, is the body and blood that is given to us to eat and drink this day. And Jesus stayed on that cross until it was finished, because he loved us to the end. Just like Judas, just like Peter, he loves you to the end. And today, as we come to Christ's table, those saints who have gone before us, like Peter, like John, those who are in heaven will join you in this supper. We, who are having a foretaste of the feast that is to come, will join with those who are already celebrating for the rest of eternity. Those who have the full realization of Christ's love for them. He loves you to the end, and his love for you is never ending. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.